Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, it's not about him, it's about me. They were the words of Victoria Beckham. She released this new three-part documentary on Netflix. The former Spice Girl and fashion entrepreneur said she was determined to tell her own story. And in this documentary, we see her talking about her pop career, her family life, her struggles to reinvent herself after her pop career and also her eating disorder. Let's have a quick listen to some of the trailer for the series.
People thought I was that miserable cow that never smiled. But I do. Don't be shocked. Performing was my dream. The Spice Girls made me accept who I am. And then all of a sudden, it stopped. That uncool kid at school that's awkward, that was me. But I desperately wanted to be liked, have a sense of worth. It's taken so long to get to this point. I'm not going to let it slip through my fingers again.
You could make a cheese and ham toasted sandwich, we'd be proud of you.
Let's be honest, I couldn't actually make a cheese sandwich very well.
Yasmin Rufo is with us, culture reporter with BBC News. Hello, Yasmin.
Hello, hi.
Thank you very much for being with us. And we're fascinated to watch this. I know so many people have. I gave it a go last night because it's directed by Nadia Halgren, who's the filmmaker behind the Michelle Obama documentary, Becoming, and also produced the David Beckham documentary, which did so well for Netflix. But in general, what are the reviews saying about this one?
Well, the reviews have been quite middling overall. You know, you heard there in the trailer, there are a few interesting bits that we learn about Victoria Beckham that we previously didn't know. But ultimately, it seems that critics agree that this is quite a polished and controlled documentary. The Guardian say it's sort of a puff piece for her and her fashion brand. Similarly, The Independent says it's so painstakingly curated. And essentially what we're seeing is just a glossy version of authenticity. So even though there are definitely some nuggets that are interesting for me and you to watch, we don't really know if we are seeing the real her or something that's been curated for us to think that that's the real her.
And because Roland Moore, who is her friend, the fashion designer, he says that he told her when she wanted to become a fashion designer that she got to let her defences down, become somebody else, but show exactly who she was. And as he was saying it, I was looking at this documentary series, going, well, she hasn't done that even now. She's still very guarded, I felt.
Yeah, absolutely. She is very guarded. And you can almost understand why. You know, the Beckham family are one of the biggest celebrity families in the world. Even David Beckham's documentary, when it came out, people sort of said similar things, that it is slightly curated. They show you the element and the aspect of their life that they want you to see. But ultimately, not sure if you're ever going to see the real them and what they're doing, you know, day to day. And that's because they have got a narrative to control, and they know how big they are and how important and famous they are, that they wouldn't want to sort of slip up or show you something that wouldn't necessarily be favourable to them.
So what do you think we learn about Victoria Beckham? I mean, it's very clear that she wanted at one point, when the Spice Girls ended, to leave that image of the pop star behind. Then she was seen as a wag and she had to leave that image behind as well. How did she navigate those changes?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting because we do see different elements of her throughout the podcast. And, you know, going back to her early days, it's so hard to believe that actually she was the uncool kid at school that was bullied. And then she talks about that eating disorder that she developed because she was trying to control the narrative and she was constantly being told she wasn't good enough. And she finds the wag aspect of her life in the early noughties, which I think it was really interesting because she was saying actually that was a really fun time in her life. But reflecting on it, she can see that actually that she was at a point in her life there where she was trying to find out who she was. She felt quite incomplete. She felt sad. And then obviously she discovered this designer career to move into fashion. And I thought it was really interesting watching it, where you get to understand how the brand started and actually how many people really didn't take her seriously early on. They just thought, this is a gimmick. It's a hobby. She's not going to take off. No one actually in the fashion world cared. But it's really fascinating to see how over the years she's actually sort of built up a career.
Yeah, and you can look at it in one of two ways. You can say, well, she had the luxury to keep pursuing this because they had lots of money to keep pumping into it, even when things were going badly for her. But on the other side of that, there are plenty who would have cast that aside as soon as they saw it wasn't working and pivot to something else. And she did stick with it.
Absolutely, she did. And you're right, there are two ways of seeing this. And there's a really poignant bit in the documentary where she starts sort of tearing up because she remembers how it was David Beckham that stepped in to help her business out. So we know that obviously she was able to do this because they had money behind them. But at the same time, she did persevere with it. And she could have easily just said, actually, do you know what? I've given it go for a year. It's not working. Everyone's taking the mick out of me. And in the documentary, she says she used to cry before going to work every day. And there was just a point where actually her firm was tens of millions of pounds in the red. And so, yes, she had the money behind her, but also she had the perseverance and determination to continue, even when everyone sort of said, this isn't going to work out, no one's going to take you seriously. And eventually she proved them wrong.
And then, of course, I mean, much of the focus around the coverage of the Beckhams has centred on this alleged feud, falling out with the eldest child, Brooklyn, and his wife. That's not addressed, though, in this, is it?
No, it's really not addressed. I think, like you heard in the trailer there, this is about Victoria Beckham. It's about her brand, her legacy. And yes, her children come into that in part, but it's ultimately not about the family and any rumours of a feud. Brooklyn does get a few mentions in the documentary. There's a bit where Victoria talks about him because she had quite a bad morning sickness when she was pregnant with him. But really, he's not very present. He's not spoken about and mentioned. And obviously, there is a lot of interest at the moment around what's going on, given that Brooklyn and Nicola have been largely absent from their lives. Obviously, they weren't at David Beckham's 50th birthday a while back, but also they weren't at the premiere for this documentary. You know, the rest of the family were there. They were also absent. They've not commented publicly on the documentary. But, you know, it's important to say that no one has ever acknowledged the rumoured rift in the family. And when the BBC has tried to reach out to them, they've always declined to comment.
OK, and then the whole narrative of this documentary series is pointing towards her showing in Paris with this very extravagant show. And a lot of time is spent on that storyline, isn't it, throughout the episodes?
It is. It very much is about her fashion brand and leading up to this big moment. And that moment really was huge for her. You see her, it's a spring summer show at Paris Fashion Week in 2014. You have Gigi Hadid walking. You have Anna Wintour in the documentary saying that actually Victoria Beckham totally proved us all wrong, which is really fascinating. You don't imagine Anna Wintour says that very often. So yes, it really leads up to this big moment in her life. And it kind of goes back to what the critics were saying at the beginning, that ultimately you see a little bit of Victoria, but really this is kind of a puff piece for her brand, for her fashion label. And that's kind of what the whole documentary is geared towards.
I think you're right. I think a lot of people will agree with you. And also the inclusion of her very famous friends. We mentioned Roland Murray. She's also got Donatella Versace, Anna Wintour, as you mentioned, Eva Longoria, Tom Ford. I mean, these are A-listers in fashion and celebrity, aren't they?
Exactly. They are big names. And you can see that, I'm sure, when they started creating this documentary, it was important that it wasn't just Victoria on her own, but actually to build up her fashion brand, you're bringing in these big names across the industry to almost consolidate her fashion brand, saying like, yes, she is a big name. We are all in the same bucket. I suppose the way that they want the documentary to be portrayed is showing that Victoria and Donatella Versace and Tom Ford are all similar kind of fashion designers. They're all in that same A-list bracket.
Yasmin, thank you very much for speaking to us. Yasmin Rufo, their culture reporter with BBC News, and the Victoria Beckham documentary series is on Netflix. It's worth a look. It really is. It's interesting. The Beckhams are always interesting.